Okay, a train just went by, and okay, here we go. It is snowing in Ohio. How are you doing? Welcome back. Hope you're doing well, and if you're not, hang in there. It will get better. This too shall pass. Anyway, we are on the sixth song for the album Home. This one is called One Tear at a Time. And, you know, this one actually has some banjo in there. Second song with banjo. So there's two songs with banjo in them. I did play a little bit. I do have a little bit too much fun. I do not like the sound of that banjo. And basically because I really don't know how to play it. But I do play guitar, so I know how to kind of niddle my fingers around to be able to just do some hammer-ons, so it's something close. So anyway, there is some banjo in there. The recording was pretty easy on this one. Christian Gavina, again, drummer, was a part of this one. Has a great drum sound. I would say this is my favorite quality of drum for some reason. I don't know why. It sounds so good. This track particularly I really like. He actually did a drum solo. We had to cut it short for the album, but on the extended version, I'm gonna put that in there if you want to check it out, and maybe we'll throw it in here just so you can check that out, because his drum solo is phenomenal. But yeah, anyway, let's get right to it. So this came out February 16th, 2021, and, you know, from my notes here, it's saying, I put, really struggling spiritually, family, dry drunk, want to drink and die, searching for purpose and meaning. Sheesh. You know, like, I guess I was having a bad day, man. You know, it happens. It happens, man. And thank God I didn't act on it. You know, this is part of life. For me, it's you get some highs and some lows, and you try and just go with it. So, obviously, music and songwriting have been a huge part of my recovery, and just coping mechanism on how to just deal with regular day life. And now, do I feel like that all the time? No, you know, but when I hit my lows, I hit them pretty hard. You know, like the other day, I hit a low, man, and you just hanging on for the ride, man. It's just part of life, at least my experience. So anyway, back when writing this song, you know, I was going through a lot. So let's dive in these lyrics here. First verse. So I have feeling alone in the valley, but I didn't record that feeling. So alone in the valley, lost in the chill of the air. Why even bother when nobody cares? I mean, do I need to sum that up? You know, it's, you know, I've experienced that a lot in my life. When you just do something, you just like, why am I even doing this, man? Nobody cares about this. And a lot of the times it's with music for me. And I would say that's probably a majority of it. But, you know, the truth is, you know, it's a healing process for me, writing any kind of material. It's a revealing process. And I think, you know, like I said before, my music is not, it's not meant for the multitudes. You know, you can go wherever and digest a lot of great music. For me, I would say a lot of my music is meant for somebody special. And I think it's meant for somebody in pain or searching for something more. And I think this song goes right along with that. Now, the music is a little different. It's a faster tempo, and so it's just different because it's not like a sad song, but the lyrics are. So, and you know, thinking about the nobody cares, you know, sometimes it's up to us to kind of reach out. And I was thinking about this, and you know, I would say that Nicholas, my sponsor and mentor out in Colorado when I first sobered up, you know, one way that he showed that he cared was spending time and listening. And like I said before, that has been such a love language or very huge. So I would love to challenge anybody listening to this. If you feel like nobody cares, flip it around. Like, when I first sobered up, they said, you know, get out of yourself. And if you go to a meeting, you know, like I always just felt like I'd, you know, never fit in or just like, not comfortable in my own skin. And Nicholas would say, you know, go shake somebody's hand. There's somebody who's newer than you in the rooms, like less time sobriety. And so, you know, that started me off on a venture of, you know, if I'm in a big group, I usually don't like being in big groups, but if I am and I'm feeling uncomfortable, I have a tool, something to use of go find somebody that looks more uncomfortable than you. Now, some people want to be left alone, and I would say that the cell phone has helped distract me. And so I feel like it does distract others. And so some people nowadays, especially, you know, everybody's on their phone. And I think it takes away that feeling for me of, you know, I'm alone or I'm different or I don't know what to do. This is awkward. And I find that sometimes if somebody's on their phone, sometimes I just let them be because, you know, it may be such a uncomfortable thing for them. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in that. But anyway, here's the challenge. If you feel like nobody cares, okay, flip it around. That was an example before, but so it would be, if you feel like nobody cares, then be the person that cares, that shows that you care about somebody. And I believe the Lord will work through you. And the Lord knows exactly how to speak and work through you. It's just you being willing to take some steps of obedience or to step out in faith. So, you know, that's what I tell my daughter. You know, she's like, hey, you know, they, you know, whoever wouldn't play with me during recess. And it's like, well, you want a friend that doesn't just leave you. And so I tell her, hey, you know, go be somebody's friend. You know, you be the friend that you want. And so I would love to challenge anybody with that, including myself. Next line, way down inside, my soul weeps tonight. Heartache goes down just one tear at a time. No, and maybe, you know, our world can be so distracting. And to feel some of that hurt and pain, some of that soul pain, it's not a fun place to go. It's not easy. It's not convenient. But I think if you're doing inner work, it's maybe as John would say, necessary. okay. Well, man, that siren goes a little longer than the trains around here. So anyway, we'll edit that out. Thanks for sticking in there. So keep going in the song here. In the middle of the muck. But there's got to be something. It's got to be one thing that I can do right. No matter what I say or do, always I mess it up. You know, that's... Sometimes, you know, this one's all about this song, I would say, at least for the workshop, this is all about looking at those negative thought patterns, negative thought habits, and this is one of mine. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes, to start off, sometimes I just... Man, I am so clumsy with things. And you know, it's definitely some inner work to look at and to work with. But it's, you know, can't you do one thing right? You know, how many times are you gonna screw things up? And you know, I've done some doozies in my life. I've had made plenty of mistakes. You know, the good thing is, and I brought along a little bit of a meditation today. So, you know, the good thing is, you know, you can always make amends. That's been a huge tool for me in recovery. And when you do mess up, when you do make a mistake, you can make an amends. And let's come back to that later, because Holly talks about that in this recording. But I want to go over this one thing from the meditation. This is from 24 Hours. This is for alcoholics. But I think any regular person can use it. So this is from March 19th. Read it the other day. It says, remorse is terrible mental punishment. Ashamed of ourselves for the things we've said and done, afraid to face people because of what they might think of us, afraid of the consequences of what we did when we were drunk. With the 12 steps, we forget about the past. It says, do I believe that God has forgiven me for everything I've done in the past, no matter how black it was, provided I'm honestly trying to do the right thing today? You know, it's, to me, this, in the workshop, this song is going to be more about the inner beliefs, your core beliefs, and, you know, this is absolutely true for me. I mean, with the remorse, talking about the mental punishment, With alcohol, it, you know, some people talk about blackout drinking or having blackouts, and you know, when you consume too much alcohol, you're gonna lose control. And you know, I don't know how many people have experienced blackouts, but you know, it's like completely losing control. How do I describe it? It's like giving the enemy free rein, and man, not a cool place to be. And you know, it's pretty scary, to be honest. And you know, I would go in spurts. Now, I know a couple. Well, like Nicholas said, you know, he was in a week-long blackout. I'm like, what? A week long, you know, he ended up in different states and what? Now I've had chunks and of blackout time where you lose recollection and there's no going back. And, you know, when you drink like that and you live a lifestyle like that, man, talk about shame and being afraid. I mean, I know all about that, 100%. And, you know, a tool for me, like I said, has been in recovery is making amends. You know, you show up, you face what you did, what you said, and you admit you're wrong, and you see what you can do to make it right. And, you know, it's been a huge tool for me. You know, like as Holly shares in the song later, that's exactly it. So, anyway, back to the lyrics. You know, there may be, I don't know, something from my childhood or something, but where you're just not able to do anything right. You know, whether that's at school, I don't know. What a crappy place to be, though. I would say the truth is that I'm not always doing wrong. Yes, I do mess up. I do make mistakes. But at the same time, I'm not always messing things up. And, you know, I do some good. I do have some strengths. And I am good at certain things. Not many, but so maybe it's looking at the truth and almost like the next song, looking at your strengths, which has been a hard thing for me to do. But anyway, verse 2, up in the hills now, whatever that means, gone as far as I can go. Nobody knows because nobody goes there with me. You know, another, I guess, big thing in my life is, you know, just isolation and just trying to do everything on my own. You know, it's been a huge thing my whole life. Pretty independent. I don't know. Maybe I'm scared that somebody's going to tell me something that I don't want to do, or, you know, it's always been a big thing for me of, you know, don't tell me what to do. And where does that come from? I don't know. Maybe from mom. Mom was more the disciplinarian. And maybe as a child, you don't feel like you have any options. You know, maybe school, maybe sports. You know, that was my big thing when I first sobered up, was I was just tired of everybody telling me what to do. And I think getting in that 12-step program, you know, it's suggestions and the way they word things. Like Nicholas would say, you know, never tell an alcoholic what to do. And it's the truth, man, for me at least. I like to think that I make my own choices. Don't want anybody bossing me around. And, usually if somebody does boss me around, I'm pretty closed off to it. And, it's just the way I'm wired. I don't know why, but, you know, when you do your own thing, I guess if you do your own thing and you spend a lot of time alone, then nobody's going to boss you around. And the only thing about that is, yeah, you can do that, but you miss out on a lot. And, you know, you're in your own head a lot. You know, that's like taking a, like working on more creative stuff for me. Like, yeah, it's fun, but at the same time, it sucks because you're working extra hard and you're, you know, isolated more. You see and talk less with people, at least for right now. And, you know, that's not good for me. So, you know, like this, like, I don't have any feedback from anybody. I haven't had any feedback from one person about this podcast. And so, you know, that's not good because I may be blabbing on too long. People might say, you know, Red, get to the point, or, you know, this is dumb. You just kind of go all over the place. And, you know, I'm not getting any of that feedback. And, you know, that's not cool. If you're in a group or if you're talking one-on-one with somebody, you're going to get that feedback. if somebody's honest. So anyway, let's keep going in this, or I'll just keep rambling on. Then it goes back into the muck. You know that one. And then it goes into, then we recorded this one part. It came probably during the middle of the night or something, just wrote it down real quick. And it's for the end of the song. It's all right. It's okay. Move on to better days. Your soul is worth the save and start over new. It's okay. It's all right. Hands in the air tonight. Love be there to guide and help to see you through. You know, for me, the hands in the air tonight. Have you ever just gone through something and you're just, and you're at the end of your rope and just like, whatever, Lord. You know, you just, you turn that over to the Lord like, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. And you get your hands up there. Well, if you haven't done it, I'd love to challenge you to give it a shot with anything. And to turn it over, love will be there to guide and help see you through. You know, but you got to turn it over. You can't hang on to it, you know. I do that with plenty of stuff. You know, I need to do better with that. But there are times when I just kind of hit that point and just like, Lord, I'm asking for your help. Almost like these music libraries. You know, to me, it's, I like to do things on my own. I like to get it done. And it's hard for me to turn things over. It really is. But it minimally happens because I just drive myself nuts with that stuff. And it usually takes me getting pretty banged up before I turn that stuff over. I mean, that's just the way I am. You know, better days coming up ahead. You know, let me take you back. Let's do some early recovery. I was up at York Street and, you know, Nicholas was talking about being a service, which was a foreign word to me, you know, for a service project in high school or whatever it was. Mean Klein. Oh, shoot. What did we do? We did fake pictures or something. Oh, my gosh. Raking the leaves. Oh, come on. But anyway, you know, when I first started actually trying to be of service, you know, Nicholas, you know, he started basic, and I was willing to do anything it took to stay sober. And so he would mention, you know, you wash ashtrays, you put chairs away, you shake hands, and you refill the coffee, you make some new coffee. And so, you know, he would do this stuff. He wouldn't just say it, go do this, blah, blah, blah. He would say, hey, come on, let's go do whatever. And he would do it. And so it makes a big difference when you're not telling somebody what to do, but you're living it. And he did that with everything. And so anyway, I was in York Street, and I was alone. Nicholas wasn't there. And, you know, I decided that I was going to make some new coffee. And I went to refill or do the coffee, or I dumped it or put some more water in, and I broke the glass part of it, of what makes coffee. And I remember thinking, I can't even make coffee, man. And it was like a devastating blow. Like, you can't even like help out with making coffee, man. And, you know, talk about a struggle, you know, for a lifetime of having that, you know, where does that come from? I don't know. But at the same time, it's not the end of the world. You can go get in. That's what it was. I remember thinking, well, I got to be honest and go tell them that I broke this. I'm probably going to have to pay. And I went down to the guy, I forget who was running it. It was down in York Street, to the manager. I'm like, you know, I don't remember crying, but I remember saying, no, hey, I broke this coffee pot. And he's like, oh, man, don't worry about it, bro. You know, and he opened this cabinet and there was like like 20 different freaking coffee things ready to go, and he just put me at ease, you know, like, hey, you know, it happens to the best of us, or, you know, this is a daily occurrence or something. And I remember I couldn't believe it. I'm just like, it was one of the first times I felt like I did something honestly, that I fessed up to it, and that I got the feedback of, hey, man, it's okay, man, don't worry about it, you know. And so I think sometimes I can be my worst enemy. Sometimes other people, you're hard on yourself. And sometimes we need that grace from others, but sometimes we need that grace from ourselves. Not easy, you know, acceptance of ourselves, not easy. You know, on the workshop side of this, this is the hardest one to go through. This is a biggie, but as it keeps going, you know, the turn of the tide, it does get better. But anyway, that was one example of having that thought of, I can't even do coffee. And so, you know, if you're struggling with something very simple that comes easy for other people, don't worry about it. You're okay. You will find your niche. Don't give up. Keep going. Sometimes it's doing something different. Sometimes it's just doing something different, trying something, being willing to try something different. And I hate to say it, but, you know, sometimes it's being obedient or following through of what you feel like the Lord is leading you to. Now, I don't have a whole lot of scriptures for you today. We're not even going to take a little break, but I did want to share these couple of scriptures. So, and I wanted to tie it into this. So anyway, you know, sometimes I think sometimes God just wants me to do some very simple things. And sometimes I'm just not willing. You know, back in the day when Jesus was here, you know, he was at this wedding, and it was one of his first miracles. And, you know, his mom's like, hey, told his disciples, just whatever he does, just whatever Jesus says, just do it. And, you know, think about those two disciples or whoever it was. He said something to the disciples and said, hey, go ahead and fill these jars up to the brim with water. You know, and there was a big thing because the wine was all out. You know, like, to me, it's like, did he say something to somebody and they refused? I would have been like, this dude's nuts, man. Seriously. But they took action. Two of them did, or whatever, and they filled those big old jars. I don't even know what they were for, water or something. Filled them up to the top. That makes no sense of how, you know, having wine. You know, like, to me, I feel like I would have just shook my head no. And that's sad to say. And maybe I even do that today. You know, another example is, you know, when, what is the other one? Oh, the 5,000. You know, another example is, you know, it doesn't make sense in the spirit realm. It does, but in the natural world, it doesn't. You know, the 12 disciples or whatever, you know, they're like, man, we need to send these people home because they've been hanging out with us for 3 days and stuff. And, you know, we got to get these guys home. They haven't eaten in 3 days. And Jesus is like, well, you guys go ahead and make them some food or something, you know? And they're like, even if we went to the town and bought some food, it'd take us a year's wages to pay for all of it. And Jesus is like, what do you have? And they went scrounging, and they had whatever. A boy had a couple fish and a couple loaves. And he's like, have the people sit down. You know, to me, it just makes no sense to me. Like, come on. Like, Lord, come on. We got two loaves and two fish, and you're going to have everybody sit down. They followed through. The disciples were obedient. It made no sense. And so, you know, and they ended up feeding the 5,000. And at the wedding, they had the best wine they ever tasted. And so that's probably one of my biggest struggles, biggest challenges, is following through, being obedient, even in small things. Even in small things. And so, you know, like stepping out for this creative journey has really been a huge step. At the same time, I feel like it's just a beginning step. And, you know, I would say that the Lord is calling us to taking small steps and being obedient. Even it doesn't necessarily make sense. Whether it's just talking to somebody or just something small, you know. If you've had something on your heart that you wanted to start, man, I would love to challenge you, encourage you to just start small. Do it. Do one thing. That's like me. If I want to do music or something, then just have one song. Go with one song, you know, like, I'm so critical of my performance and my voice. It's a huge challenge for me. And so, you know, I have a lot of inner work to do myself, you know. Just because somebody's on a podcast doesn't mean you got it all together or you know what you're talking about. You know, a lot of times it's just blabbing away. You know, I would say for me, though, I feel like I have taking some action, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do, to be honest, because, you know, I'm not making any money on this thing or doing creative stuff right now. I'm not, but I'm excited to see how the Lord's going to work things out. You know, I have no clue, and that was my prayer just the other day, like, Lord, if you want me to do this, then, you know, you've already provided in a miraculous way. At the same time, I'm kind of biting my nails because don't have a whole lot of money. But at the same time, you know, if the Lord wants me to do this, he will provide a way. And so I'm okay either way. I could do anything. I could work doing anything and be fine. But at the same time, I have this dream, this vision that I don't want to die. And you know, I want to take at least some baby steps and get out there, not let fear get in the way, not let my self-doubt and, you know, all that stuff plays a huge part in what I've been doing. Man, I'm not gonna lie. It's been a big challenge and a struggle. At the same time, there's been some great breakthroughs. There's been some great courage and great heart shown, and some I feel stronger relationship wise with the Lord. But anyway, okay, man, that's it for this week. I would say, if you're an isolator like myself, man, try and get out a little bit, do something, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And if you feel like nobody cares, be that person that cares. Be that person that shows up. And for me, I need to be that person that cares to my family. If you feel like that, then, you know, I'm real good at caring for strangers. At the same time, it's more of a challenge to care for my family. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but that's just the way I've been wired. So I know that I need to practice with my family. Family first. And that's something we'll go over in the Man Quest coming up here in June. But anyway, hey, there's another one for you. And I'm going to get going before a train comes by. But thanks for slowing down wherever you are in the world. And Lord be with you, and God bless.
You're all right. We'll make mistakes in life. When you start something new, it will take a while to get it right. You're gonna mess up, and you're bound to make mistakes, but you're human, and it's up to you to learn from it and move on. If you harm somebody or yourself, make amends. Make things right if possible and move on with your life. You have friends and family and a God who loves you no matter what. Unconditionally. We will always be there for you. Trust your intuition and stay the course. Focus on today and stay strong. You can do this.